Please join me in prayer. Mighty God, open our hearts and open our minds as we continue to explore the royal titles that bear witness to your Son, the Messiah. By your Holy Spirit, guide us and illumine us as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. Amen. There are 184 verses in the New Testament about the birth of Christ. And these 184 verses presuppose or quote the words of 170 verses from 18 different Old Testament books. One German philosopher put it this way: the life of Jesus was written long before his birth. Now, Jesus himself believed this, and he taught this. In John 5, we read, "If you believed Moses," says Jesus, "you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Now, last week, we talked about another title for the Messiah found in the book of Isaiah, two chapters earlier in Isaiah 7, Wonderful Counselor, who gives us wonder-filled, supernatural, divine wisdom for godly living. So this second title that we're looking at in Advent is Mighty God. We see that our hope in this newborn king is a hope and a strength in one who is so much more than just a human king. So let's hear now from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever." There's great power in music to convey what really matters to us as human beings. Spiritual realities can be expressed through music in a way that mere words can't fully accomplish. Now, George Frideric Handel composed the Messiah in an amazingly short period of time. In roughly 3 to 4 weeks, in the fall of 1741, he wrote furiously from morning till night, day in and day out. Now, the Messiah was different from any of other Handel's compositions. Usually it was a story that was based upon conflict between two leading characters. But in this piece, the Messiah tells the story of Jesus in three parts: his birth, his passion, and his resurrection. Now, it was originally an Easter piece, but over the decades, it slowly became more tied to the season of Christmas. Now, Handel each year would offer benefit concerts for his favorite charity. And from the time that he composed the Messiah until his death, the Messiah was always played. The proceeds went to London's Foundling Hospital, that was a home for abandoned and orphaned children. For it was to such as these that the Messiah, the Mighty God, came to rescue and to restore. Now, the Messiah was first performed in the Music Hall of Dublin, Ireland, April 13th, 1742. A record 700 people were in attendance in the auditorium, and the air was electric. To maximize space and seats, the management pleaded with the women, please wear dresses without hoops. And I'm glad you've done that this morning as well. In addition to Handel's already legendary status, many also came to glimpse at the contralto Susanna Sibber, who was embroiled in a scandalous divorce at the time. From the very opening line, comfort ye my people, saith your God, the audience was entranced for that first performance. Now, at the midpoint, the soloist, Sibber, belted out. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. At that moment, a minister in the crowd leapt to his feet and declared, "Woman, for this all thy sins be forgiven." Mozart would later say of the Messiah, "Handel knows better than any of us what will make an effect. And when he chooses, he strikes like a lightning bolt." The second royal title of Isaiah 9 conveys God's divine thunderbolt, the Messiah himself, mighty God. It's from this title that we see the Messiah is set apart from all men. A man, yes, but as Isaiah prophesies, also mighty God. I like how Canadian theologian Douglas John Hall puts it. So if I'm asked, "Do you believe in the divinity of Christ?" I answer, "Yes." Otherwise, how could he have been so wonderfully human? And if I'm asked, "Do you believe in the humanity of Christ?" I answer, "Yes." Otherwise, how could he have been so profoundly oriented to God? Now, we saw last week another throne name that had been given to the Messiah earlier in the book of Isaiah, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, right? God with us. And so we learn even more about the Messiah's character with this royal title, Mighty God, or in Hebrew, El Gibor. Now, this title shows us what kind of God is with us. A mighty God is with us. A God that has the valor and the power and the authority to bring deliverance for his people from captivity and to give them victory over sin and death. That is our mighty God. You see, this is the hope that we have, that our God is a God who comes near, who appears to us, and this God is the mighty God, the God of the Exodus, the God who has the power to say to the powers that be, "Let my people go." Now, human history really has been the story about this quest for power and the discovery of power, and then the harnessing of power. When you think about human history, manpower, firepower, horsepower, steam power, wind power, electric power, battery power, solar power, atomic power. Now, each of these forms of power, they've brought us wealth and they've brought us countless conveniences that we're enjoying even now. Yet all of these powers have been unable to free our hearts from the power of greed and self-destruction. And so the Messiah, mighty God, provides a new power, a different power for us that is utterly lacking in our lives, and that is spiritual power. The mighty power of the Messiah, it isn't expressed with a fist. It isn't expressed with a sword, and it isn't expressed from the barrel of a gun, but rather with the power of love that comes from God Almighty himself, who still storms and forgives sins and restores soundness of mind. Now, Luke describes Jesus this way, that he was mighty in word and in deed. See, the power of our mighty God has the power to bring about change in our lives and in our world, to restore sanity, to deliver true and lasting freedom that we all long for. Our mighty God's spiritual power frees us to live for God and to serve others instead of living self-serving lives. In the 19th century, Lord Acton said this, "Absolute power corrupts how? Absolutely. But divine power, the Almighty God's power, absolutely cleanses and cares for his people and his world. The mighty God's power leaves an afterglow of character and compassion, not the aftermath of corruption." You see, Jesus has been one of the most influential figures in all of world history, but there is something different about him that sets him apart from all before him and all after him. He had a ring of authority and he had power, but he used his power utterly different than anyone else. He used it to serve, to bless, and to set free. You see, it's before Christ that we, alongside the disciples, say in astonishment, "Who is this that even wind and wave obey him?" It's with the Pharisees that we wonder to ourselves, "Who is this that can even forgive sins?" And with the formerly doubting, now the believing Thomas, that we exclaim before the risen and reigning Christ, "My Lord and my God." You see, Jesus, he didn't give room for us to see him as merely a great human figure in world history. He was that, but so much more. So we need to turn back to Exodus to think about this. In the book of Exodus, God revealed himself to Moses in the wilderness. How did God reveal himself? And what was it? In a burning bush, exactly. Now, do you remember the name that God revealed to Moses of who he was? What did God say? "I am who I am," or "I am that I am." Fast forward centuries later to Christ's ministry. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus speaks the famous seven "I am" statements. "I am the bread of life," says Jesus. "I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine." You see, Jesus was saying so much more than just a series of metaphors to give us a picture of what his ministry was about. Seven times he had the audacity to say, "I am who I am." "Before Abraham was," says Jesus, "I am." See, when you encounter the Messiah, you encounter not merely a man. You encounter a man, but not merely a man, because you have a face-to-face encounter with mighty God. Come and see this Advent. Come and draw near and take a closer look at the newborn King. Because gazing upon him, you will find and you will see who God is. You will see what God requires, and you will find out what God's purposes are for you and this world, and you will find the strength and the power to enact that. As Martin Luther said, "Scripture is the cradle in which Christ lies." Now, this is the message of Christmas. Your God came for you. He didn't send somebody else. He came himself in pursuit of you to seek and to save the lost. That is the good news. Kanye West is one of the most recognizable music producers and rappers in hip-hop today. He's married to Kim Kardashian. Yes, that Kim. He's got a famous line of clothing. He might, however, be best known for his ego. There's a little bit of a joke that you can proclaim the depths of your love to your significant other, to your spouse, or whomever, by saying, "I love you more than Kanye loves Kanye." Now, despite his fame, Kanye's life has been tumultuous, to put it lightly. Mental breakdowns, depression has been a part of his life. Addiction, run-ins with the law. And his lyrics on his albums can be shocking, to say the least. Several years ago, maybe you read about this in the news, he infamously stormed the stage during a music awards and took the trophy from Taylor Swift. Not a good moment. His life seemed to be perpetually chaotic, erratic, and manic. A few months ago, he dropped a new album that once again lit up the charts. It went number one, and in fact, every single song landed on the top 100 of songs in the country. The title of the album, "Jesus is King," in all caps. Google searches for Jesus and "What do Christians believe?" immediately spiked upon the release of this album. He's been on tour, and he calls them his Sunday service concerts. They've been selling out around the country. Preacher joins him, as well as a gospel choir to accompany him in all the performances. And the preacher, he's from a small church, about 300 members or so, about the size of Emmanuel, preaches the good news to the masses. The American Bible Society has been giving out about 9,000 free Bibles to confuse Kanye West fans to help them figure out what the heaven is going on in his music and in his life. Now, granted, Jesus is King, it's not Handel's Messiah, but it's pretty awesome. In it, you hear how the mighty God has grabbed a hold of a mighty ego. The album's been on pretty heavy rotation in our Spotify playlist and in our house. What happened? Well, there are doubters out there. There are haters that are a little dubious about this. What do I think? I think Kanye has had a real encounter with the mighty God. "I was just under the weight of my sin," Kanye said, "and I was being convicted that I was running from God. And I knew I needed to make things right, so I came to Christ." And then he alludes to Isaiah, "I came out of darkness and came into the light." Enjoy this little sample of one of his songs. "Everything that I bear, praise the Lord. Worship Christ with the best of your portions. I know I won't forget all he's done. He's the strength in this race that I run. Every time I look up, I see God's faithfulness, and it shows just how much he is mine. I can't keep it to myself. I can't sit here and be still. Everybody I will tell, till the whole world is healed. King of kings, Lord of lords, all the things he has in store. From the rich to the poor, all are welcome through the door. You won't ever be the same when you call on Jesus' name. Listen to the words I'm saying. Jesus, save me now. I'm saying, and I know. That pick me up. I know Christ is the fountain that fill my cup. I know God is alive, yeah. He is open up my vision." Amen. God is alive. Yes, the Messiah is our mighty God. Whether you're a Handel or you're a hip-hop artist, The same Jesus is still rescuing and touching and healing and sending us out in his powerful name. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.